This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A North Carolina mother uncovered higher-than-normal cancer rates in her community. It all started when her 16-year-old daughter was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Susan Wind realized that something was wrong after her neighbors and other community members in Mooresville started sharing their own experiences with cancer. It didn't seem normal to have so many people diagnosed with cancer in one area. And she was right. There are two zip codes in Iredell County that have significantly higher rates of thyroid cancer than the rest of the state. In the southwestern part of the county, the cancer rate was more than three times higher than the state of North Carolina's between 2015 and 2016. Susan Wind joins us now to share her story. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about your daughter Taylor's symptoms and what happened when you first began to notice symptoms.
Well, she wasn't feeling good for about 2 years, and I kept taking her to the doctor. Doctors pretty much were telling me that, you know, it was hormones, teenage girls, and so forth. She had headaches. She was tired all the time, weight fluctuation, issues with sleeping, just a lot of different things going on for 2 years. And one day she developed a lump under her ear. They told me it was a swollen gland. I have nothing to worry about. Come back in 3 months. We went through that for a year. And through the years, I just known a lot of people with cancers in our area, always was in the back of my mind. And one day, my dental hygienist was actually telling me how she had cancer and how they didn't know for years. And then a lump developed on her neck, and that's how they found her cancer. It was a Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that pretty much was an alert for me, and I rushed her to my doctor and said, please test my daughter. I just have something, a bad feeling about all this. And 7 weeks into testing, we got a full diagnosis that she had thyroid cancer, and it spread throughout her neck.
Hmm. And could they tell how long this had been going on? Was this what was going on the whole time, do they think?
Well, thyroid cancer is a slow-growing cancer, so what I have learned from a lot of the experts, they believe she probably had it for those couple of years. And it went undetected because apparently no one knew to scan, test thyroid levels, and do an ultrasound on the neck. No one knew that there was any type of issue in that town with thyroid cancers.
So that's one of the questions here. Why did it go undiagnosed? But then the other part of that is so many people in this area with thyroid cancers. When did you begin to discover this pattern?
Well, we shared our story on social media, and people were very, considerate, reaching out to us. They felt obviously horrible. A child has cancer. And then neighbors knocked on my door down my street, and they were like, oh, did you know we had thyroid cancer? Like, people started coming to me telling me they had thyroid cancer on my street. Other neighborhoods, two more moms called me that lived across the street from each other in another neighborhood. They're like, our daughter's got thyroid cancer this year, too. So people just started reaching out to me left and right about thyroid cancers and a lot of other cancers. And that's where I was shocked, and I asked my daughter's doctor at the time, I said, is this normal, all these thyroid cancers? And they were like, I don't think so. So I was like, of course, I'm in panic mode saying, okay, what is going on? And is it safe here? So she put me in touch with a researcher who, Dr. Heather Stapleton, who also brought on Dr. Abner Vangosh, but she put me in touch with Dr. Stapleton from Duke University, who had done previous studies on thyroid cancer and environmental factors. So I asked her if she could do a study and help me. And she said, well, we would love to, but there's no money or funding. And so I went on my own and raised $100,000 and gave it to them as a grant to study my environment.
And what did that research show?
Well, they confirmed there was a thyroid cancer cluster. And that's what I needed to know. That was my main thing. Is there a cancer cluster here? And they did confirm there was a cancer cluster. And that was pretty much part one. They also pretty much have been ongoing doing testing, but through the year, it's been about a year and a half now, and I've sat in numerous meetings with politicians, with the health department, with the DEQ, and I feel I was pushed aside by so many people in North Carolina to get answers. And through this investigation, I was approached by hundreds of people in the area, and I learned a lot about my area. So, the scientists test. They are scientists. They have hypotheses. They have to test the hypothesis. That is their job. I'm more of the investigator in this probably study, and I did not know that I was living all over coal ash in our town. I did not know what that was until a lot of people brought this to my attention. So
coal ash, of course, is the byproduct. It's what's left over after we burn coal for electricity. So we've got this, first of all, this problem with greenhouse gases burning the coal in the first place. But then we've got this residue. And that, of course, has been at the center of much controversy in the state of North Carolina because of the amount of coal ash in this state, coal ash breaches. So you find that you're living in an area that is full of it. Talk about that. Where is it and why is it there?
Well, the Marshall Steam Station, it's a plant on Lake Norman, the northern part of Lake Norman, and that is where there's over 63 million tons of coal ash in an unlined pit. You can see the mountainous piles if you look on Google Earth, if you drive by the facility. So that has been obviously a problem for years. Then I started to learn pretty much it was a common North Carolina practice to use this as dirt. So it's been used as structural fill. We learned that Mooresville had the most documentation of structural fill in the state of North Carolina, and, which is really sad, that documentation is so minimal. When I confronted the DEQ, they pretty much, I said, do you have every record of where this stuff is? And they said no. It was not regulated. Prior to 2015, it was never regulated. So it was used, builders used it as structural fill. Landscapers came to me who now have cancer. They were using it because it was mixed with topsoil because it gave it, I was told, a very nice, pretty gray look in the landscaping. It was just used all over. And that was like people pretty much said, that's what we did here.
Well, I'm talking to Susan Wynn, a former resident of Mooresville, North Carolina, about the work she did to uncover higher than normal rates of thyroid cancer in her community. We've got a correlation here, a cancer cluster. We have large amounts of coal ash. Now the question is there an actual correlated relationship or a connection between the two? That is a little bit more vague. I'm going to bring in a researcher now who Susan is working with, try to find the cause of all this cancer. Avner Van Ghosh is a professor of water quality and geochemistry at Duke University's Nicholas School of the Environment. Avner, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. You took a look at this. You were brought on to have a look. So what was the first things that you began investigating as you start to think about whether or not there's a correlation here?
So this we've been working on coal ash for decades now, since the TVA coal ash spill in Tennessee. And we've been trying to understand how it's affecting the environment, how can we identify coal ash in the environment. And when Susan approached us, we were trying to see how we can be able to identify any environmental cause that's causing this thyroid cancer. And coal ash is one of the targets. It was the only target at that point. So the first things we did was looking at the water quality. Since the locations of the people in the area is very close to the Marshall Steam Station, the first potential mechanism of exposure to coal ash contaminant will be through water. And we conducted investigation of the water quality of private wells and some of the domestic public water that supply in the area. And we basically ruled that mechanism off. We demonstrated that the water quality of the people who are living there is not different than the other places in North Carolina. I wouldn't say it's good, but it's definitely not different and not indicating presence of coal ash contaminants.
All right, so then we look at it. We should maybe pause here briefly and talk about coal ash, what we know and what we don't. We do know that it does have high concentrations of dozens of heavy metals. Some are carcinogenic. We know that's what's in it. What we don't know is if the presence of that in our environment is going to cause cancer for us.
Right. I mean, we are, there is a really mounting evidence for in our group at Duke and also for many other researchers around the country and around the world, demonstrating that high concentration of toxic elements, some of them are radioactive, in Kalash has a huge potential for causing human health. The only really question is the pathways of exposure. And that's kind of the tricky thing, how people who are living or working next to coal ash would be exposed to the coal ash. It could be through water. It could be through air.
Well, let's talk about that TVA spill that you mentioned earlier. It was a catastrophic spill that officials were congratulating themselves for the quick cleanup, but there was an aftermath, and the incidence of cancer among those people who were working to clean it up was startling.
Yes. So we started to work just really soon after the spill, and we demonstrated the level of contaminants in water and the solid of sediments being affected by the coal ash. And then there was a project that took a couple of years. It wasn't that quick, but took a couple of years of about 500 workers who took the coal ash out from the river and sent it to Alabama for a landfill, which is another kind of a story. What does it mean for the people who live in Alabama being exposed to coal ash? In the process, it was revealed a couple of years kind of in the process that the people who worked in this, working on the coal ash, got sick. And a really large proportion of those workers seems to have different types of cancer, mostly from apparently inhalation of very small particle enriched in toxic element from coal ash.
Is it 60 of 150 workers? Tell me if I have this right, because there are a number. It took place over several years, but I understand that 60 of those workers had lung cancer.
So my information, we have not worked on the statistics on that, but my information is that about 500 people worked, mm-hmm. about over 200 or even more, 300 were actually got sick, mm. and about 50 had died already, right. from different related to lung cancer and some other related cancer.
Now, this happened in 2008. This was Kingston, Tennessee, and it was the largest industrial spill in U.S. history. All right, so now let's take us to Mooresville, what you discovered. Water is in the clear. It wasn't delivered through water if Asheville was coal ash was the culprit at all. What else do we know? What else are we looking at?
So we are trying to characterize soil and dust in the area. And really, it's an ongoing study. We are not really have conducted large scale and more comprehensive study that we should. It's really kind of scratching the surface in terms of measuring what's in the soil. Basically, we're trying to see if we can identify some anomalies, including coal ash, and whether some areas that we identified coal ash, we do see it. So we do have the analytical and the scientific capability to be able to identify coal ash in the environment. We're using chemistry, we're using isotopes. So once we find it, we're very confident and we can tell here it is. But in this process that we are currently engaging, we are trying to identify it in soil and dust in homes in this area.
Susan Wind, you have a lot of dots very close together in this. They may not all be connected scientifically or politically, but they're very close together. And I wonder what your community thought, the members of your community thought, when you took them the results of your investigation so far.
It's been mixed. There are so many people that have been personally affected by, a diagnosis to their family members or child, and they are on board. And then, of course, I've had a lot of backlash. People have said some horrible things on social media. People have been upset. They're worried about their property values because it doesn't affect them. They feel there could be nothing wrong. So I've had a mix of reactions in the area, which, you know, is really a shame because you would think everybody would want to put our health before anything else. And I've learned a lot through this.
Well, what about you talked about public officials, public health officials. What are they saying about all this?
Well, I met with many public officials and the health department and the DEQ. I mean, the meetings got heated throughout time because I really feel like my opinion is that if you say there's a reason why there's a lot of cancer here. I mean, doctors know there's a lot of cancer. The high school has 40,000 tons of coal ash dumped next to it. And I've got tons of parents calling me with all these kids who've gotten cancer there, all different types of cancer. And I just don't think this is a coincidence. And until the state officials and the health department can rule everything out and not rely on just this one study that I had to commission myself, I'm not okay with it. And they tried to push me away, and nobody wants to say it could be something in the environment. And yeah, there is something in this environment doing this. And to me, it is, we vote for these people. We put them in a position to protect us and do the right thing. And I'm going to fight until they do the right thing. It's been 2 years, and I feel my only heroes are Dr. Avner Vingosh, Dr. Heather Stapleton, and other people they brought in on their team to help figure out, is there something wrong? Because nobody should be blindsided with a problem in their environment they did not know about, and nobody should be blindsided with having a child being diagnosed with cancer.
Susan Wynn is a former resident of Mooresville, North Carolina. We reached out to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services to join the conversation. They declined. They did send us some information on their ongoing research at their website. There are links available, and you are listening to all of this on The State of Things. Avner Vingosh, professor of water quality and geochemistry at the Nicholas School of Environment at Duke University. How urgent is this? I mean, we're waiting for research. What are we waiting for, the final determination? Do we ever get that? I mean, it sounds a little bit like the cigarette debate, you know, whether or not we can actually prove the link that everybody who died of cancer was smoking cigarettes. How much is it going to take, and how long is it going to take to make a correlation or rule it out?
Well, I think one has to look at it in two ways of looking at it. I think coal ash has been neglected in this country for decades. And only after the TVA coal ash spill, people woke up. And I think this negligence is one of the reasons why we are here at this point. In 2015, the EPA was finally, after many, many years, set rules to restrict the impact of coal ash in the environment. And this restriction was very limited. There was a lot of pushback by the industry, which made those EPA regulations very, very soft. Unfortunately, we are now experiencing kind of a really weird situation that the EPA is going backwards with its own regulation and making it even more softer. And I was in Washington 2 weeks ago trying to talk to them and say, hey, you are kind of neglecting your own EPA studies. So I think in one way, we have to recognize that coal in general is a real environmental problem. It's not only CO2 emission and global warming and air pollution. It's also a lot of water, by the way, is being extracted because of combustion of coal. And also we have built this legacy of coal ash that is part of the environment. We show, for example, that in Sutton Lake, in near Wilmington, we have spills that took coal ash from the coal ash pond into the lake. And people where are fishing and using it, they are exposed to contaminants from coal ash. So coal ash is part of our life, and we need to address it, and we need to recognize it, and we need to protect the people from coal ash. In specific site in Mooresville, we are trying to find evidence for coal ash or other sources, as I said. It's tedious. It's not a simple task. Hopefully, we are now developing even new and more sensitive method, like we're using lead isotopes, that will hopefully help us to define and to find it in the environment. And
that is for Mooresville in Iredell County and ultimately for the entire state. Avner Vingosh is a professor of water quality and geochemistry at Duke University's Nicholas School of the Environment. Susan Wynn, former resident of Mooresville. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find links to the story and their research at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Manifest Music Festival starts tonight. We'll get the music of Henbrain in just a moment.